This is Fresh Air. Are you the kind of person who is conscientious enough to hold on to your candy wrapper or soda can until you find a trash receptacle on the street? In some areas, finding a trash can isn't easy. But even if you do find one, it might not be very effective at keeping the litter off the street or the vermin out of the can. The city of Philadelphia is buying new street cans for a spruced-up part of town, and it commissioned an industrial design firm to study what's available and what works best. Industrial designer Peter Bressler and his company Bressler Group compared different types of receptacles, and we thought you'd be interested in the results, knowing you're probably the conscientious type, like we are. So let's begin with the can you're probably best acquainted with, the old-fashioned, ever-popular wire mesh litter receptacle.
I think they probably were great when people didn't steal trash receptacles. And they were probably great before the invention of the trash bag. Because back then, it was a relatively light, relatively indestructible device that the trash person could lift up, dump in the back of the truck. And it was finished. It has a cupped bottom, i.e. there is a retaining wall inside the wire mesh at the bottom that prevents drainage of half-drunken beverages. But it has the wire mesh, which allows rain to drain out. So it, by itself, when it was first invented, it was probably a real good solution, aside from the fact that a lot of people think it's basically unattractive.
But now?
Nowadays, if the city didn't pour concrete in the bottom, which makes them weigh over 75 pounds.
And the purpose of that is so
people
doesn't
can't
steal it.
Them,
yeah.
Because people are stealing them regularly. So now the city puts concrete in the bottom so they don't get stolen. The problem then is that the trash collection people can't lift them up to dump them into the truck, so they have to use a trash bag. The problem with the trash bag is that unless it's full with at least 5 pounds worth of litter, the first strong gust of wind blows it out the top of the basket like a balloon. And if all it had in it was 4 McDonald's styrofoam boxes, they just get thrown further down the street, regardless of the fact that somebody tried to put them in the trash basket in the first place.
No, I took a little tour of some of those baskets before our interview today. And in every one of the wire baskets that I passed, there was trash in between the bottom of the basket and the actual start of the plastic bag.
Yes.
Now, since the sanitation workers can't lift the basket because it's loaded down with concrete, what do? Have to scoop out the trash that's collected underneath the plastic bag?
They literally, because it's so prevalent.
Yeah.
And it's prevalent because the plastic bags break dumping trash in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It would be extremely inefficient if the trash collector sat there and picked all the trash out of the bottom of the wire basket by itself.
Yeah.
So they literally have to have a whole separate route with a vacuum truck that goes around and sucks the trash out of the baskets.
I've never seen one of those.
They go out at night.
Oh. So I guess we don't like these anymore, huh? These wire mesh baskets?
Evolution has created too many problems for them. They just don't work right anymore because of the changing social environment that they live in.
Now, what else were you looking at? You were looking at plastic.
Right. There's the little plastic cone heads, which are, I guess they're probably 30 inches tall. And they sit in a little bracket. They were very popular in New York City when they first came on the market. And Philadelphia decided to buy a bunch of them and try it.
These have lids, right?
No.
They don't have
lids. No, they have no lids. They also have a very soft exterior lip. Which it turns out is inviting for street people to use them as commodes. And they also have a drainage hole, which means that any half-finished beverages that are thrown in it drain down through and have this nice little dripping. Eventually they make a stalagmite on the ground of mountain of goo underneath them that stains the sidewalk, looks like hell. And
attracts vermin, probably.
Definitely attracts vermin. And on top of that, there are a couple of other problems with them. One, the brackets themselves are made very poorly. So most of them you'll see on the street are already broken. Secondly, in that they're plastic, if someone throws a lit cigarette in the trash, or if some vandal, which they do, throw lit matches in the trash.
It's a popular hobby in a lot of areas.
Apparently, because what you'll do is you'll walk down the street and you'll find a mountain of green melted goo in the middle of the sidewalk. So they solved some of the problems that the big trash cans had, and there was one I didn't mention, which is the propensity for commercial occupants nearby and residential occupants nearby to put full bags of trash that's supposed to be collected by commercial trash collection in the litter basket, which doubles the length of time it takes the city to empty them. The little ones cut down on that somewhat because they're smaller.
What else did you look at?
We looked at the Market Street East litter receptacles.
The Market Street East is a kind of fairly newly developed commercial area
it's
in Philadelphia.
New
urban shopping mall.
High-zoot urban mall center city thing on the east side of City Hall. And these are literally $1,200 to $1,400 cast concrete ziggurats.
Ziggurats? Well, am I supposed to know that word?
This ziggurat is a Mayan temple. It's that kind of shape. And they have almost a normal wire basket and trash bag inside with a lid on top.
What's the purpose of that?
To make them look better.
So how do these function?
They function just like the wire baskets do, except they happen to have a disc of aluminum on the top with a hinge that functions as a lid with a hole in the middle, which does prevent to some degree people putting large plastic bags in it, but in fact is an inviting place for people to put large plastic bags on top of it. So aside from their cost, which is absolutely astronomical and in my mind unconscionable, they have, except for the wind blowing the plastic bag, they have all the other problems that the wire basket has.
What was your final recommendation to the city, and why did you choose that one as your recommendation?
Okay. We chose the pole-mounted receptacle. It's basically a perforated metal cylinder that has a stalk about two-thirds of the way up, perpendicular to its side, which includes a pivot, which is mounted on an existing light standard. And has a small enough diameter top that discourages large trash bags. And it is attractive in that it is less obtrusive, and it is attractive in that you see less trash, so you can have more of them available less obtrusively.
My guest is Peter Bressler, and he's an industrial designer whose firm just completed a study for the city of Philadelphia comparing the relative merits of different public trash receptacles. And we'll talk trash a little bit more after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Industrial designer Peter Bressler is my guest. Let me tell you a typical problem I have with trash receptacles. Let me see if you've run across this with anyone else. Maybe it's just me. I don't know what you'd call this, but there's a kind of trash receptacle. It's really pretty big, and it's got like a hood on top. You know, it's got a cover with a little swivel door on it, and you have to push that door in to deposit your trash. And of course, that little hinged door is always absolutely filthy, and you don't really want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't touch it, then it's hard to push it in so that your trash goes in. So what you end up doing sometimes is pushing it a little bit using the trash as a glove so that you're actually not touching this like filthy door, and the trash doesn't go all the way in and it ends up sticking up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like partially in, partially out. You know, you did a really sloppy job of depositing
this.
Is this a typical problem? Maybe I'm crazy.
No, you're not crazy at all. There is a real difficulty in designing a closing trash receptacle that doesn't take two hands to use. I think the perfect example are most of the tray return stations in fast food stores.
Yes, that's a typical place where you find this.
Where you invariably use the tray to open the door and it promptly sweeps the trash back onto your feet. Okay. Invariably, it works that way. Now, there are a couple of innovations out where some people have actually mounted handles above the doors that you pull down on the handle to open the door and then dump the can. But, I mean, that's a mild innovation. But, yeah, it's infuriating.
What did you learn about rats and roaches by doing this study?
Not too much about roaches, but I did learn that rats can chew through the bottom of concrete containers.
They can chew through concrete?
Yeah. They can't chew through the wire baskets. But they gnaw away at the mortar in the concrete. And in fact, the city collection people have found rats in the bottom of some of the Market Street containers when they went to empty them.
I think, you know, litter receptacles are a perfect example of something that everybody uses, and most people spend very little time thinking about. But you had a talk with people who spend a lot of time thinking about it because they're either sanitation workers or they own businesses and they really rely on the area around their business looking clean. What are some of the most kind of passionate things people told you about? Because people get very passionate about things that matter to them. So for the people who are like really involved with the design of the receptacles, what are the more passionate things people had to say?
Interestingly enough, the most passionate things people had to say was how ugly they are,
mm-hmm.
and how ugly it is when there's a bunch of trash on the ground around them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of the little green cones, how ugly the sidewalk underneath got. Even the sanitation workers didn't like when it looked bad,
mm-hmm.
because it made people think they weren't doing their jobs well.
Right. You spent some time following around sanitation workers with a camera to get
yes.
a sense of what their needs were. So what did you learn?
Well, I learned that it's critical that the trash truck stay as close to where the men are working as it possibly can. There is nothing that makes a bigger mess or takes longer to empty trash cans than having the trash truck a half a block away. There is an interesting observation we did make, and that is that it appeared that each receptacle was emptied substantially faster if both sanitation workers worked on each receptacle together. But what happens when they divide up is it takes each one at least twice as long to service a given receptacle. And they tend to get spread apart on the block so the trash truck doesn't know where to be. It's almost a situation that needs to be choreographed. And you watch it, and it builds a rhythm down the street. And the choreography of the driver with the two trash people really is critical in terms of their efficiency. They need to develop a rhythm and work together.
Would you like to take a crack at designing the perfect litter receptacle?
I'd sure like to take a crack at designing a litter receptacle. I'm not sure that anybody can design a perfect one. Designing a new litter receptacle would not be an easy project.
Why?
Because there are no straightforward answers that don't have additional problems to them.
Right.
Design is a resolution of conflicts. Okay, you have this need and you have this need, and they contradict one another. If you do this, then this is going to be a problem. If you do that, then the other is going to be a problem. And finding a good design solution is finding the compromise between those two things that does work. And very often it's not an obvious answer. In the case of litter receptacles, it's not an obvious answer at all. It needs to be easy enough to empty, but difficult to steal. It needs to be big enough to hold enough litter, but not so big as to attract commercial trash. It needs to be inexpensive, yet last as long as possible. So there are a lot of conflicts, and no one seems to be much higher than the other, which in effect makes it more difficult. You know, if there were one driving problem that you had to solve, well, that's a whole lot easier project.
Yeah.
Because you can just pay all your attention to that one, not trying to balance a series of elements on a multiple seesaw.
Well, I want to thank you. I know the next time I have a wrapper to throw out, I'm going to see that litter receptacle in a completely different way. So thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My guest has been Peter Bressler. He's an industrial designer whose firm just completed a study for the city of Philadelphia comparing the relative merits of different public trash receptacles. Bressler is also the past president and the current chairman of the board of the Industrial Designers Society of America. This is Fresh Air.